All right, ladies and gentlemen, there have been many folks, of course, applying, registering to be the governor of Kentucky. You gotta sign in, please, like they say on some of the game shows. One of those folks to do that is Ryan Quarles. He is Kentucky's agriculture commissioner. Welcome back to the show, Ryan.
Thanks, Terry, or should I say Speaker Miners? Is that right?
No, I am not going to accept the nomination if it comes my way. That is an astounding show we're seeing in Washington.
It is, and here in Frankfort, you know, we were glad today to hit the next milestone of the campaign. We officially filed our paperwork to run for governor of Kentucky here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. I joined about 10 other folks. We're all friends. It's going to be an unprecedented primary, and I'm focused on my race and my vision for Kentucky.
Yeah, that's what you had told me some time ago, is that you didn't think this would get into the mud and the trenches, that you guys all have your own messaging, and you feel like the voters will determine whose message they acclimate toward the most.
Yeah, and I hope that's the case. I certainly know that's the way we're going to play the game. I'm going to focus on unity, because one thing that I've learned traveling across Kentucky this past year, logging over 50,000 miles and visiting nearly all 120 counties, is that we need somebody that can unite both rural and urban Kentucky and bring us together. And so I feel that my two terms as agriculture commissioner proves that we can work with both rural and urban Kentucky, because there's one thing that we can all agree on, and that's good food. And imagine what we can do with state government, what we've done with the Department of Agriculture, with Kentucky Proud, our farmers markets, et cetera. And so I'm excited, and Election Day is just 18 weeks away.
Let's talk about the challenges right now for the supermajority in the state legislature versus having a Democrat governor in office who obviously wants to push back and forth with them. I know that your pitch would be, you know, if we're all on the same team, things would move swimmingly. What are some of the challenges that you see Kentucky facing because of having different parties in those two segments of government?
Well, first off, I'd like to remind folks, I was once a state legislator that spent 5 years in the Kentucky House and never spent a single day in a majority party. So I know what it's like to serve in a minority party. So as governor, I'm going to work with everybody. And right now you're seeing Andy Beshear suing people left and right that he doesn't agree with. And so I'm going to be more of a consensus builder. It's been probably a couple decades since we've had the ability of a governor and two chambers to sit down well ahead of the general session starting and agreeing on what can be done. And so I have my own brand. I'm an independent guy. I'm able to stand on my own 2 feet. But I think some of the challenges that we're going to see are the same challenges we've seen forever. We have a pension system that needs funding. We have infrastructure issues like broadband internet that we're lagging behind other states. And of course, if you want to talk about Kentucky, we have a lot of healthcare issues and educational outcomes that, you know, being average on the national level is not good enough. We need to be leading the pack.
Yeah, and we're at the end of the line and a lot of those countdowns of states in terms of health issues and so forth. So what do we do about trying to turn that around? First and foremost, we want to offer people the opportunity to advance their lives, extend their lives.
That's right. Look, I grew up on a tobacco farm, and I was lucky to have a mother who was a public school teacher. And she told me, Ryan, either work in tobacco or study. And so I decided to study. And for me, I believe in America that education is great.
I believe in a wireless system that, sorry about that, Ryan. It dropped out for us for a few seconds. You said, I believe in education, and start over again. I believe in education is what you said.
Yeah, I'm on the Gene Snyder making that big loop right now. Okay. But I grew up on a family farm. My mom was a teacher, and I believe education can take you anywhere that you want to go in life as long as you work hard enough. I have a doctorate in education. I think that we can do some serious things, and we need to after 2 years of lockdown to get our test scores back up. But I also think that there's a disconnect between what's being taught and what employers want. And so I'm going to be a big advocate for vocational and skilled trade programs as well, whether it's welding, HVAC, electricity. These are the skills that employers want. And for a lot of Kentuckians, that might be the best route and most the biggest starting salary that they may have, they choose a vocational skill. We need to be supportive of that.
Exactly right. Messaging is always interesting, too. This morning I got up and I hear, well, Governor Andy Beshear would like to give the teachers raises, and Robert Stivers, the Republican, is opposed to that. Well, when you hear that message, people go, wait a minute, what? So what are we missing in the messaging as it's being reported?
Well, what's happened here is that the Republicans have passed education budgets that are of record high. More money is going to education in Kentucky than ever before in our state's history. And school teachers are not technically state employees. And so their salary increases have to be done at the local level. And so what I think you're going to see, especially with the budget surplus due to the tax structure the Republicans have passed, is that they're going to continue to fund education at a high level, and that we do promote and support teacher pay increases. Because, look, they're not just teaching. They're also helping raise our children across our state. And so if state employees get a pay increase, I think our teachers should as well.
But just not in the methodology that the governor wants, Governor Beshear?
Well, I think the governor has a very poor relationship with the General Assembly. He's suing many of them. He's suing me right now. And I think that if he would actually have sat down and worked with legislative leaders, that a lot of these things that he's complaining about or advocating for could have become law or could have been a reality, but he's not working with those folks. I mean, I speak with our legislative leaders almost every day. The frustration is through the roof. And so that's why we need a governor that can work with these folks, because I believe in three co-equal branches of government. And the governor, especially during COVID, tried to be the judicial branch, the legislative branch, and the executive branch all in one. And so for me, we want to work with them, support our schools, support our public servants, but also let's get the big things done in Kentucky that have been delayed for and put on the back burner for such a long time, especially broadband internet across Kentucky.
Other people say they're able to get more people to migrate to their states because they have no state income tax. Here in Kentucky, the General Assembly is obviously slowly, methodically moving it downward. There's a movement now, of course, to move it from 4.5% down to 4%, and beyond that, Democrats are not thrilled. Listen to this.
Make no mistake, this is unsustainable. A revenue reduction bill that will be felt by small businesses and working folk alike.
Why is she wrong?
Well, first off, we have record-breaking budget surpluses due to the legislature slowly implementing a income tax reduction. I think they've done it in a responsible way. Instead of moving directly to a 0% income tax, which I believe most Republicans are advocating for, they're doing it incrementally. They're waiting to see how the tax revenue changes with tweaks to the tax code. And so instead of doing it overnight, we are learning year by year and month by month with our tax revenue, which changes are working. And I believe they're doing it in a responsible way. And so as governor of Kentucky, I think it's smart for the legislature to incrementally do and eventually get us to a more competitive tax code with no income tax like Tennessee.
So how then, Tennessee, Texas, Florida, how then are those states able to pay for what the services they need if they have no state income tax?
Well, I think number one is that, take Tennessee, for example, they're experiencing such amazing growth right now that when you broaden the base, it actually creates more tax revenue. We have more people going to work. And that's another thing we got to do in Kentucky is motivate more Kentuckians to get back into the workforce. If we rank 47th in the nation for workforce participation rate. So when you have folks not entering the labor force or workforce, that decreases the tax revenue as well because we're not as productive with our GDP. But for me, if you look at the high growth states, they're ones that we have to compete with. It's what employers want. And here's another thing, Terry, we want people to retire in Kentucky as well. I know for a fact that we are not as competitive as we should be, particularly with our military veterans, with our pension tax implications. I've talked to so many folks that have spent a lifetime in the military that have decided to retire elsewhere because they don't want to be taxed on their pension. And that's something I think that we can look at as well. Let's keep people in Kentucky, help create population growth, and we can do it in a responsible way.
So how do we supplement the money that's gone away, though, as you move the income tax down to nothing? You have to add some sort of levy somewhere, don't you?
Yeah. So if you look at it, you decrease the income tax, which is a big chunk of our state revenue. But if you create more jobs and you broaden the base and you increase the population, that helps supplement it as well. But I also think it's so important that the General Assembly, which, by the way, the General Assembly is the tax writing body of the three branches of government. It's their prerogative that we make sure that we don't shoot ourselves in the foot. We got to make sure we don't put taxes on groceries, that we don't tax medicine, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that a responsible, well-vetted plan will make this work. And that's why you're seeing a reduction by not a full percent, but a half percent right now with the most recent bill sponsored by Brandon Reed.
All right. And then as far as fundraising goes, Ryan, we read all the numbers that come in. We're speaking with Ryan Quarles, by the way. He's running for governor. He's currently Kentucky's ag commissioner. One of your opponents signed in, too. She's Kelly Kraft. And they say she's got more money than you could fill Mammoth Cave with. So how are you going to compete with that?
Well, Ambassador Kraft's a great friend of mine, as are the other competitors here. But we are leading on cash on hand as of this past quarter. We're really proud of that. We are hitting our internal goals. We also are big on endorsements, Terry. We have 196 endorsements. We're about to hit 200 endorsements across Kentucky. But we're going to have a budget that wins the race. We don't have to have the biggest budget in the race. We just need to have a budget that gets us across the finish line.
All right, Ryan, best of luck. Glad you're in and appreciate you giving us some access.
Thank you so much. And if you want to learn more, visit ryanquarles.com. Thanks, Terry.
Okay, bud. Appreciate it. There you go. Ryan Quarles, Kentucky's ag commissioner, officially signed in now as a candidate for governor on the Republican side. And as he noted, there are about 10 people who are running for governor. You'll know by the end of business tomorrow the full number of people that are all running. I guess the more the merrier, because it's a smaller number that gets someone to then elevate to get to the general election. So that's what they're all counting on. Enough people running, I can slide under the tag with this number. So we'll just follow the story as it plays out. That was Ryan Quarles. His last name is spelled Q-U-A-R-L-E-S. And that's it. That's his name. RyanQuarles.com for the website. Back in a few.